Born in the pandemic era, thriving in the Zoom era, it's Resonance Rewind with Robin Pierce, Jessica Burtis, Pamela Sue Mann, Jonathan Lindsley, Jenny Bill, Kathy Manzo, Alex Lefchuk, and more, sharing lessons from the creatives of yesteryear for the population of today. Resonance Rewind, now approaching its second century of celebrating the wonderful worlds of television and cinematic classics from yesteryear.
2077. My time, my city. When terrorists killed thousands of innocents, they were condemned to die. They had other plans.
Central? I'm separated from my team. I need backup.
Who is this? How did you find this channel?
What year is this?
What year are you from?
2077.
The war begins now.
You're under arrest.
For what?
For what you're going to do.
You say he's part of a gang?
A very dangerous one. You can expect well-coordinated, violent criminal activity and some unorthodox tactics.
There's a war coming.
How can you be so sure?
Because we're going to start it.
How do you get back to 2077?
We're here. We can't go back.
When the corporations bailed out our failed governments, they sold it to us as salvation. Now we see that we have paid for that rescue with our freedom. Words that open up A Stitch in Time, the first episode of Continuum. And yes, it's time for another Resonance Rewind.
Thank you.
Paddy Manso, let's turn to your good self now as we actually do a kind of serialisation, because Jessica Burtis will be coming very shortly to discuss the joys of her thoughts on Continuum. She managed to access it, finally. But then again, if Jessica Burtis can't get hold of something online, frankly, nobody can. But what did you make of this particular Simon Barry production and, of course, battle against corporate, not just America, but corporate corporations the world over?
I have two major thoughts on this. Major thought number one, I did not know what I was watching until I was watching it. You told me the name. I knew the people that were going to be in it. I was like, okay, got it. Don't think I've ever seen this show. And it wasn't until Kira, I think that's the main character's name, is using her jacket as a device. And I'm like, this, I've seen this. The nostalgia came back to me. I definitely watched sci-fi, especially as a kid. So I think it was just one of those shows that came up. And especially with the year that it's happening, very much teenager, early 20s Kathy. So would have been very much into this. So yeah, it was nice to watch something I hadn't seen in like a decade almost. And my second thought is how eerie it is knowing the information I know today compared to what I knew 10 years ago. Because although this is sci-fi and it's time travel, it's talking a lot about a lot of things that are happening currently, which is a bit scary. So, yeah.
I mean, in terms of that side of things, of course, we shall pay any price to ensure the survival and success of liberty. We have obviously Edward Kagame's character, the leader of Liberate. And it is something which even more so, arguably, over the decades since the series effectively launched in Canada, in Vancouver, and actually not just filmed in Vancouver, but about Vancouver. And those issues that are very prevalent through the world, as you say. We on our journey to sci-fi Scarborough, we see the sign of the Golden Archers. We see the corporations that go after that. Google, of course, the onset of the multinationals. Do you think it's very prescient? Do you feel it's a case of, you know, we don't have to worry about it because the governments have everything in hand? Or do you think it actually does have a connection where we think, we don't know, where's it going to go?
Well, we absolutely have to worry about it. I mean, you know, that's the only way change happens, when people care. And thinking about it is the first step, or at least acknowledging that there's a problem, I guess, is the first step. And compared to, I think what was scary in this film, obviously back in 2012, 2013, whenever I was watching this, you don't sympathize with the revolutionists, right? You don't sympathize with the terrorists that they call them, right?
The bad guys,
right.
Basically.
Yeah, exactly. But with the knowledge I know today, I found myself sympathizing with them, because the show is very heavily based on support for police. Like, your protagonists are law enforcement, and you know, I probably would have felt very similarly over a decade ago on that, where I was like, yeah, of course I trust the police. Whereas if you ask me today, I am wary. I'm not saying anything that comes with it, but obviously we've had a long decade of a lot of things happening, not just in the US, but also in the UK, where there's definitely been a lot of mistrust, you know, to the public, especially when it comes to law enforcement. So I think being cautious is, you know, if anything, acceptable, you know.
The CMR, Cellular Memory Review, often predicted by tech heads and folk who say, yes, wearable technology and actually having an injection that clearly Keira Cameron has access to through her suit, through her work within the police department and so on, as a protector, which again is an interesting notion that her role is as a protector. Is that something which you'd like to have, that instant review, so you'd be able to instantly have a recall of every single second of Sci-Fi Scarborough or any other activities that's going there? Perfect review.
Well, I don't know. Because I still have a hard time trying to understand the difference between that and a body cam when it comes to just the visual and sound aspect of replaying something. Obviously, there's much more impressive things that happens with the suit than just a body cam. But yeah, why does
the color of it can actually go into camouflage mode.
But why would you want the body cam aspect to be inside you? You know, why am I the player? And why am I being played instead of me playing?
presumably for portability and ease of use, that actually if the thing becomes a wearable or it's intrinsically part of you, then that cybernetic organism...
I don't know. If a criminal is a criminal, and especially the really bad ones, because, I don't know, a fun fact about law enforcement, there's a lot more murder than we're aware of than people talk about. But... we won't go down that rabbit hole today. I think it's one of those things where if a criminal knows you are wearing something that is being recorded, and if it is well-known knowledge that this thing is now in your head, right, why wouldn't they just kill you? They have more of a motive to kill the – this is my logic, at least, when it comes to it. Whereas with the body cam, you know what they can do? Destroy it. And not kill you. so it becomes two different things. I guess it depends how extreme the criminal is.
Speculation, I suppose, is at the heart of speculative fiction and so on. Let's talk characters. Stephen Lobo, of course, as Matthew Kellogg. Eric Knudsen as the young Alex Sadler, a cigarette-smoking man himself, of course. William B. Davis from The X-Files as the elder Alex Sadler. And, of course, that question which theoreticians around time have said for years, can you change the past? Is that essential line at the end of this particular episode, a stitch in time? Does it save nine? To use that wonderful node of the proverb and so on, or do we get to a stage of actually, no, you can't change the past? I mean, it's that classic line of, was Kira destined to go back in time? We had the sequence where the elder Alex Sadler seemed to think, no, she needs to be there, she needs to stay there, whereas her husband's saying she must be coming out of the whole thing. So lots of unanswered questions. But what about those characters? Where do you actually position them? Who for you actually said, yeah, I'd like to hang out with Kira Cameron to find out more about why she decided to actually enter law enforcement and become a protector?
I don't know. She's a bit odd from the beginning, and I think she's supposed to be more likable as the series continues, if I remember if how it develops.
So are you more a Carlos Fonegra fan, the Victor Webster character?
I think I really lost the understanding of identity in the show, because it's the conundrum of, I know I'm supposed to find law enforcement more likable, but in this situation, I wasn't finding them likable. And I wasn't exactly, because, you know, it's episode one. Let's relax. I wasn't exactly sympathizing with the terrorists either. You know, we
30,000 people killed in order to actually coordinate 20 as an eye for an eye revenge.
Right. Yeah. Like, I'm not supporting that at all. Don't think it's right either. But I think what was so interesting were the side characters kind of forcing the commentary. Like, this wasn't accidentally approached on me. It's when they're having the dinner party. This is in the future, or their present, I guess.
2077.
There you go. And, and you know, they're having the debate about these terrorists exactly. And exactly like, oh, well, I can understand their side. Oh, but do you, you know, this. And I think it's the same conversation everyone has had, at least in my country, 100 times, if not more.
And is the Irish Republican Army a terrorist organization or a group of freedom fighters?
Right. And this is, you know, like I can tell you for a fact the FBI has registered over 2,000 militias, organized militias in the United States, right? And that is, I don't know why that's not talked about more, because that's terrifying. And all it takes, honestly, is for someone to be like an Alec Sandler, right? Someone to be just intelligent enough to just capable of hitting a middle, which grabs both.
And of course, we do see that sequence with his stepfather, mm-hmm. who's having a meeting, which effectively is echoing that whole notion that's often raised in terms of America, that, you know, it's that essence that leads to the onset of populist politics and the likes of Donald Trump and so on. Really.
Some would even say foreshadowing. but I do want to point out they are Canadian. This whole show is a Canada production. So, you know, the Canadians don't like to be mixed up with the U.S. Americans, you know. And then all of North and South America hate that we get to call ourselves Americans, because technically North Americans and South Americans are Americans. So let's start the debate for another time, Alex. Who has the time?
Nice line. Favorite character, then? I'm going to push you.
Oh, favorite character. I think I like I think I like and will very quickly dislike older Alex Sandler, who appeared in the last second. Spoiler. Sorry. I feel like the show's been out for a decade. It's on you.
Well, also, again, he appears sort of earlier on. We just don't quite get that connection. And we see hints and clues that are actually developed within that. And it is one of those areas where one of the challenges we're faced within Resonance Rewind is where we just take one slice of a program and slice of a show. It can be quite challenging to actually work through that.
Well, and I know his role was, and I would never say insignificant because it's not, it's very, but I think what's impressive is he only had one sentence line, right, in this whole episode. But that really stuck out more to me and was more profound because of how they did it. And also, he was very good with his nonverbal communication. Like in one moment I could understand, and maybe I read too much into this, and if anyone disagrees with me, I completely understand. But for me, when he delivered that one line, I could see him already like displaying that he knows everything that's about to go down, and he thinks what he's doing is the right thing, and you know, he can probably justify it, but understands that it won't be taken by everyone lightly. That's exactly what I got from that one sentence.
I thought you might have actually gone for Edward Kagame as Tony, as portrayed by Tony Amendola.
I mean, I love him, but I think I love him for the wrong reasons. So I couldn't choose him out of favoritism.
Exactly. And of course, one of the classics from another filmed in Canada series, although with broader aspects, that's Stargate SG-1, where he actually portrayed one of the Goa'uld, amongst other things related to Teal'c. But that's for another show for another time. Score out of 10.
Oh, man. Okay. I would have given this a higher score. It's just that it's the first episode. You know, it's the introduction. And especially when, even though I don't remember all the details, I do remember roughly how it progresses. And I think once you get to know the characters a bit, when the characters truly have their own identities, you know, I think it becomes a way better show. But for a pilot, I'm going to give it a 7.
Well, I wonder if a cellular memory review or CMH would actually help our memories at the best of times. Instant recall, upload our memories at the end of every day. I don't know. Is that just a nightmare, Jessica Burtis? What are your thoughts?
I think that this show was so interesting. I'm not big into the kind of time travel sci-fi. I think it's not usually one that it has to be like a very specific kind of show for me to really enjoy. But I thought this one was interesting. And I think the setting of Vancouver was also very different because I feel like we don't get a lot of sci-fi set in Canada. I feel like a lot of it is in the US, especially like West Coast / East Coast, and then also in London specifically. So I feel like Vancouver was a unique setting to actually have. And that was nice. I think the whole plot of the show, it was a little bit more brutal than I was expecting with the terrorist organization. But I thought it was actually an interesting show and a bit more modern. Of course, I think you always have to have the way that they can figure out ATMs to just get a ton of money to be okay in the past, which was funny. But no, I thought it was very interesting. I think that the premise of a terrorist group being swept back in time with Kira was a very clever one. And it's not a show I'd ever heard of. So I think that it's not a show I would have picked out by myself, but I'm glad that I watched it.
Well, that's the whole essence of Resonance Rewind. Of course, 42 episodes the show lasted for, four seasons, created by Simon Barry and starring Rachel Nichols, Victor Webster, of course. We obviously had the joys of the Kagame Soul, who, again, much beloved actor who played by the name sort of eludes me at present. Obviously, so beloved, I didn't actually sort of Tony Amendola. Amendola, of course, who played Edward Kagame from that sort of things there. Yeah, I mean, it does jump from obviously 2077 to 2012. It originated in 2012, of course. That was when it was shot. Of course, you're absolutely right, Jessica. A lot of shows are filmed in Canada, filmed in Vancouver. The X-Files did the majority of its filming in Vancouver, but this is the first time that we had it acknowledged
that it was Vancouver. Of course, Stargate SG-1, another show we'll probably be looking at in the not-too-distant future, was also part of that there. So, Liberate, clearly, are they the good guys or are they the bad guys? I mean, this notion that, as we said at the start, the failed governments were bailed out by the corporations that sold it to us as salvation. I mean, you could be looking at the likes of Elon Musk, the likes of Jeff Bezos, Sergey Brin and Google and so on. Then, of course, we realize that we've just exchanged one form of tyranny for another.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of sci-fi shows deal with that, especially when it comes to mega corporations. I feel like quite a lot of sci-fi deals with the idea of this monolith taking over and a lot of the struggles against them, where I think in a lot of sci-fi movies, I feel like sometimes the main characters could be considered terrorists themselves. They often go up against this mega corporation and often through violence. So it's a very interesting theme. I think that sci-fi shows tend to deal quite heavily with morality, and just how that can be pushed to extremes through technology. So I think that this would be interesting to keep watching to see how Kira understands like the Liberates and the terrorist group. I think it'd be really cool to see if she ends up kind of changing her mindset. But for the time being, I mean, I don't know. I'm never like a big one for like violence as a means to an end when it gets as rough as the Liberates are going for. But yeah, I think having Alec in the mix with how he's going to be the boss, I think that also, he'll become a bit of a wild card, I feel like, in that.
Yeah, the notion of young Alec Sandler, played by Eric Knudsen, and of course, older Alec Sandler, played by, again, another X-Files alumni, William B. Davis, where he played, the cigarette-smoking man in a whole range of series of the X-Files as well, from that point of view. Of course, we also had another much beloved in terms of Canadian sci-fi, specifically from Andromeda, Alexa Doig, playing Sonia Valentine. Within the side of things there. Let's talk a bit about the technology. I mean, the grain, of course, is used in an episode of Black Mirror, which gives you instant recall, this notion of implanting for CPS officers the sense of having cellular memory reviews, so you can obviously record everything that's being said. Is that disturbing? Is that something which you think, yeah, fine, well, that'll help folk with memory challenges and so on? Or is it something which you just think, well, the technology's there, how are we going to use or misuse it?
Yeah, I think once technology, I feel like, starts messing with the mind and the memory, obviously it'll become a source for possible corruption and for someone to weaponize. I think that a lot of shows deal with that, with the idea of perfect memory. That Black Mirror episode with the alligator, that was a very disturbing one. I mean, as cool as it would be to have those perfect memories, maybe we need to, I don't know, rebuild our oration skills to get our memories back up and like memorizing pages and pages of text or long stories to kind of keep our memories sharp rather than relying on some technology. I think when it just gets pushed to where it changes parts of our memory or our mind, it gets a little disturbing, but I can see the draw.
Yeah, certainly that element that comes across is quite intriguing. It's interesting, of course, you said you weren't aware of the show. I don't think many people were, actually. I mean, it was a relatively solid hit for sci-fi. Very difficult to get hold of, though. I mean, Jenny Bill was unable to actually access it in any way, shape, or form. Couldn't find any streaming services that carried Continuum. The name Continuum actually emerged in a whole range of ways, but I think, indeed, even with Kathy, I've had to actually provide her with the physical DVD to actually watch it, and she'll be hopefully giving us her views on Continuum in the near future. But do you think it would, I mean, obviously it wrapped around about 2014, 2015 in terms of the series. Do you think that Rachel Nichols and her character of Kira Cameron would benefit from a big screen treatment? Would you think that actually maybe there's more you could actually do with this?
I think that this kind of plan of time travel, terrorist group, technological corporations, I think that's something that transfers pretty well to movies. But I feel like the trend right now is to turn things more into TV shows. rather than movies. I feel like a lot of things are being adapted into a TV show, and movies are being adapted into TV shows. So I feel like maybe a reboot, maybe I think that would be interesting because yeah, I had never heard of this show before in 2012, and I had a hard time finding it online. So I think it'd be nice to be able to have better access to this because if you're someone who just wants to stumble across a show, you can't really stumble across this one. You have to actually hunt it down very purposefully.
Maybe it's that's part of the thing that the corporations have actually decided to prevent it having easy access in case it causes a rebellion. Maybe it's fiction imitating art, imitating fiction imitating life, and so on. Who knows what's going to happen to this particular Resonance Rewind podcast? But we still need to ask you, of course, did you have any favorite characters? Is it Detective Carlos Fonegra, as played by Victor Webster? Is it indeed one of the Alex Sadlers? Is it Kira? Or indeed, are you going to go for somebody completely different?
I did like Carlos, but I think Alex, just because Alex has that potential that I thought was really interesting, where he's that connection between the past and the future. So I want to see how that plays out, but I didn't get too attached to anybody yet. I'm sure if there would be more in the future episodes, but right now it's probably Alex.
I think I'll go for Kira Cameron because I felt that actually she managed to cope with the disconnect of literally being thrust back 65 years. Because again, if we argue, if we went back 65 years, obviously at different routines, we'd be in the year of 1957, 58 or so the 50s. It would be fun. I mean, we obviously know that things would happen, but what would you do, Jessica? Would you actually use your knowledge of what's to come to effectively inform your decisions in the past, or would you have actually sort of say, well, no, let's just take it each day as it comes?
Oh, I think I would, I would be panicking. I'm too reliant on iPhones, and maybe that's not, it's maybe it'd be a good time going to the past and having to, be
You just have to
disconnected.
have the telephone. It wouldn't be the iPhone. You just have the telephone 65 years ago, and that would be enough, really. That's extraordinary. Okay, so let's talk about numbers then. What are you going to go for your score for episode one, A Stitch in Time, of Continuum?
I think I'm going to give it a 7.5. Again, time travel is not always my forte, but I liked the way that they did this. I think they made it interesting where it had a lot of the sci-fi hallmarks within it. But then also, I just like that it was set in Vancouver. I just think that's so cool. But I also really like Kira, as a main character. I feel like she's a very good main character to follow. So I feel like she's a very determined character. So I think that she really bumped up the score for me.
Yeah, curious. I can actually just hold this up to the camera now. I also gone for 7.5 in the corner there, which was my initial thought. I was tempted to go for 8 for infinity, but in the end, I went for 7.5 because the one aspect that for me I think got a little bit cliched was there was an over reliance on 4 or 5 minutes worth of shoot 'em outs and gunfire stuff, which I felt in a sense didn't really add a great deal to the plot. Yes, it was action based and so on, but I just thought I didn't quite sort of drive it along much as I thought it would. So a 7.5 is the score. Well, you mentioned obviously you're not a huge fan of time travel. We're in a time travel nation when it comes to a Resonance Rewind because next week we have the years 1893 and 1979 to the fore. We also have David Warner, who of course you may recall as Evil from Time Bandits. David's back this time playing Jack the Ripper. And of course we have Malcolm McDowell, who is much beloved of a whole range of things, who plays Herbert George Wells, which interesting gives you a notion of what we're actually going to see when we have the Nicholas Meyer movie version of his exploration into the world of Sherlock Holmes, meeting Jack the Ripper, and pursuing him through time via a time machine from 19 or from 1893 all the way through to 1979, when indeed Mary Steenburgen, who also appears in Back to the Future 2 and 3, also makes an appearance. So expect to be mind expanded in sort of in all sorts of ways with the next Resonance Rewind, time after time. But for now, keep on resonating.
Thank you. the time is 1893. And novelist and inventor H.G. Wells invites you to join him on a flight from London to San Francisco. In under a minute, you will be transported to a bizarre and fantastic new age. Today, time after time. For H.G. Wells, the modern world offers a spectacular array of revelations, embarrassments, and delights.
Well, hello there.
Hello.
What's up, Doc?
I beg your pardon?
You were saying, where to?
Could you please take me as quickly as possible to the Hyatt?
But Wells has not come here as a tourist. His visit will be somewhat more dangerous. For he is pursuing Jack the Ripper, a villain who has eluded his fate by escaping into time.
90 years ago, I was a freak. Today, I'm an amateur. I'm obliged to take you back to face the consequences of your acts.
You take me back? How do you propose to do that? By force?
Be reasonable, John. We don't belong here.
A 19th century gentleman.
What?
You don't close your eyes.
And a 20th century woman.
Well, neither do you.
Join forces to capture a criminal from the past. At large, in the modern world. But even more than they want him, he needs them.
Throw me the key, and I'll release the girl.
On your honor, John.
You have my word as a gentleman. I would have expected that you'd notice by now that I am not a gentleman.
Say goodbye.
Goodbye, Herbert.
You haven't instructed him in the use of one of these machines, have you?
Stevenson!
HG, it's checkmate, and you've lost again.
A romantic adventure, a breathless chase around the world and across a century. Time after time.